Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Todd Tomasella from Dallas, Texas, and I've got Brother Travis Bryan III on the other line. Good morning, Brother Travis. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Todd. Good to be here. The sun is coming up.
It's kind of dark over here. And we're just
the S-O-N is coming up.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you were being more spiritual than I was. Absolutely.
Go
He's arising with healing in his wings, and that comes through the power and the mysterious power, if you will, of the cross of Christ, which is the subject for today, the mysterious power of the cross. You know, in one of your writings, Brother Travis, you spoke about how Peter and Paul referred to the cross as a tree, and perhaps the two most popular or well-known of those verses got to be, Galatians 3:13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth tree. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, which speaks of the healing that we've received through Christ, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So the healing power of God comes from Christ's death on the cross, Brother Travis, is that correct?
Absolutely. It's by his stripes. And, you know, we are part of his body, so we have to take his stripes too. His stripes are on us, the scourgings of the enemy. But it's through those very wounds that we're healed. I would refer to them as sacred wounds, Todd. We have to go through this suffering. And there the power of the cross mysteriously works upon us. You know, and when we use the word cross, the entire program, I want to make this clear, at least from my viewpoint, I'm talking about both the death of Christ and the resurrection, because I believe that when Paul said the message of the cross or the preaching of the cross, he referred to the whole Christ event, the death and resurrection. So let's be sure and include resurrection, amen, life, and power in this word of the cross, Todd.
Yes. Amen. In fact, one pastor once I heard say that if you're not preaching the resurrection, you're only preaching half the gospel.
Yes.
Okay. So we're justified by his word. Go ahead, brother.
Paul just used the word cross sometimes for the whole thing. But it includes resurrection. And he would always, I'm going to use this word, juxtapose.
Mm-hmm.
Juxtapose both death and life. You didn't seem right about our death with Christ without, in the same vicinity, verse or next verse, talk about the resurrection that we have with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. You know, one of the examples you gave is that the Israelites came to the bitter waters of Marah, and they could not drink it. And then they asked Moses, what shall we drink? They're in Exodus 15, 23 through 25. And then you said, God then revealed to Moses a tree. And when Moses cast this tree into the waters, the bitterness became sweet. And you spoke about how this symbolizes a great truth. When we bring the mindset of the cross, the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5, into our bitter situations in this life, the bitterness will become sweet. this is what it means to drink the cup, quote unquote. Can you drink the cup of bitterness? That's very interesting.
Yes, and,
brother.
And you know, to set the stage for this, they had just come across the Red Sea. They had just seen a miracle just in the almost the same chapter or the previous chapter, chapter 14 of Exodus. The Red Sea typifies or symbolizes our death with Christ, our dying to sin, Romans 6. The crossing of that sea, and on the other side, in chapter 15, you see this wonderful celebration, Todd. The timbrels come out, and everybody's dancing, and it's just a wonderful, joyous occasion there in victory on that side of the sea. And you would think that once that they had seen that miracle and experienced that they would understand and have faith in God, but in the same chapter, they encounter this bitter water and they begin to grumble and complain again to Moses and go back into their old mindset of, why have you brought us out here, you know, Moses, to experience this? What shall we drink? Now the water's bitter, they ask, you know, and Moses cast this tree into the bitter water, and it became sweet. I think this symbolizes, Todd, that when we bring the cross mindset into our problems and realize that God is working something good out of our sufferings, those sufferings then become sweet. The old saints had a term. They said, embrace the cross. Don't try to run from it. Don't try to wire around it. Don't try to escape it. Accept it. Let it come to you, and let it come to you in the faith that something good, God is going to bring some growth out of that. God is going to bring you vision, spiritual vision that you didn't have before. He's going to give you a revelation, and those things don't seem to happen to us, Todd, when we're experiencing the prosperity of life. It's only when things get dark and grim and down and bitter that we experience this opportunity of revelation and resurrection and power in our life, and I think that's what this passage symbolizes, is that we put the tree or cast the tree into the water when we have this acceptance of the cross seasons and cross moments of our life, Todd.
Amen, brother. Would that also mean that God is trying to bring us to an end in ourself, that he might increase and we might decrease, so that the life of Christ might be glorified? You know, you mentioned something on one of the previous programs, brother, about how all around us in life, we can behold and observe how there has to be a breakdown, the death and burial, before there can be the resurrection or the raising up. For instance, I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody about working out and breaking down the muscle. That muscle must come down in order that it might grow back stronger and more healthy. And this is an interesting thing to observe in all of our Lord's creation.
Yes, all three phases, all three parts of us, Todd, spirit, soul, and body, must be exercised. And physical exercise is basically to torture a muscle. And that muscle would be so weak after our exercise, it would tremble. We can hardly walk out of the gym. We've worked those muscles so much. And you'd think, well, these muscles will never be the same. But 2 days later, 48 hours later, they're stronger than they were than when we went in the gym. And that's a picture of what it takes to exercise our spirit also. In order to grow, our spirit has to be exercised. And the thing that exercises us is these bitter experiences, these sufferings, these times when we are, as you just said, brought to the end of ourselves, and hopeless and helpless, and then we cry out to God, and He infuses us with strength. Our self-life is emptied out, and we're filled with God and His glory and His love and all of His virtues. His Spirit fills us in those moments, and we are invigorated, Todd, through the exercise of our spirit by the sufferings that we experience.
Amen. So this is something we should, saints, begin to realize that we don't want to resist. We want to. Jonah may be an example of somebody who was trying to resist the will of God, Brother Travis, and didn't work out well for him, did it?
No. He tried to run from it, but he ran right into God. It just seems that we can't get away from the Lord if He has a purpose for us. And he went through this storm and was cast overboard and then down into the belly of the big fish, the whale. Mm-hmm. And he was all alone down there in the darkness with the seaweeds wrapped around him. And he cried out to God down in the bottom of that trough, in that death and burial, symbolically at least. And yeah. God caused the fish to spit him up on the shore, and 120,000 people in the city got saved, Todd, through
that. You know,
that.
Can it get, amen, that's resurrection, yeah. Life, and power. Can it get
amen.
Worse if we resist it? I mean, it kind of got worse for Jonas, right? Jonah.
It did get worse, and resisting it, you know, and I read a guy who said one time, the way to make your sufferings worse is to resist your sufferings. The way to make them better is to accept them in the spirit of they're helping me, they're bringing something about in my life, and they go away at that point, or at least you are given the ability to bear those sufferings when you do not resist them, but embrace them.
You know, speaking of this, brother, Brother Travis, we fundamentally here, we're not looking for suffering. In fact, we want comfort. We want we want unbroken prosperity. And perhaps this is the expectation that causes us to be shocked and not be postured to endure and, you know, just walk through and embrace the suffering, would you say? I mean, human nature, especially us in America, probably the most prosperous nation in all of history, you know, we're not running around looking for some way to suffer, right?
No, we're not, and we shouldn't, Todd. I'm not in any way recommending to try to create our own sufferings for the benefit of growth.
That could be a
Todd, suffering will come to you in this world. It's just the nature of this world that Satan controls,
yes.
And they
exactly.
will come to you.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And Brother Travis, you also mentioned James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, which fits right here, where James says, he writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete and whole, wanting or lacking nothing." You know, it's kind of like an athlete who trains. Maybe he's a bodybuilder going within the illustration we were talking about earlier, and he's breaking down that muscle so that it can be built up so that he can be stronger and more developed and more successful in the upcoming event where he's going to be competing. It's through this suffering of these workouts. I mean, let's face it, if he didn't have a goal in mind, that would be a lot of pain to just put yourself under for no reason. Well, he's got a goal in mind. He's building his muscle, so he's got to go in there and break it down so that it can be built up and he can be ready for the event. And folks, you and I, as those that have been called out by the Lord to be his, and we are his, and to serve him, we should have the goal, if you will, in mind of seeing the Lord and of being with him in all eternity. And the writer of Hebrews exhorts us directly in such a manner there in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, Brother Travis, where the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us," that is, as he brought in the detail into the surface in the 11th chapter, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us," or set us back, "and let us run with patience," or endurance, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame," which seems to import, Brother Travis, that he counted it as nothing for the great prize of obeying his Father, shedding his blood to redeem the church, amen, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. "For consider him that endured such diction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Brother Travis, what do you think?
Well, brother, I think Paul would not only tell you that sufferings are valuable, but he would say we need to marinate in those sufferings. That this is what really matures us and makes us tasty to other people. Thinking back on my life, you know, the people that I've known that really, to me, lived out Christianity in the real way were people that had suffered in their lives. Yeah. They'd gone through some things.
I agree.
And let me just say this, that when we talk about suffering, Todd, we tend to want to think of that as, martyrdom or being whipped at a stake or persecuted by unbelievers. You know, some great act of suffering. But no, suffering can come in the smallest moments, and I would define it in its most elementary way as three things. One, not getting your way in the moment. That begins suffering right there, when you can't have your selfish way because of your circumstances or people around you. Two, being pulled out of your comfort zone into the unknown, where you're a little bit off balance as far as to how to handle things. And three, not being able to control people and circumstances around you. When any of those events happen to us, this event of suffering begins at that moment, and we have a choice in that. We can bring the tree in, we can bring the tree online and bring the cross mindset into our situation and die to self and let God control that moment. Or we can try to rise up and resist that, take charge of it, and avoid the tree, Todd.
Oh, don't we know that way, Barry? And, you know, going into these pop quizzes, if you will, because they just come upon us at the least expected moment, we should be blessed to pray, "Lord, please increase and let me decrease." And notice the order John the Baptist uses there. He didn't, you know, God is the initiating factor, if you will, in our relationship with him in the first place. He first loved us. We didn't find him. He found us. And it's the same romance that we have in our daily walk of abiding with Christ. And perhaps the Lord would initiate in us today, in each individual listening, for us to cry out, "Lord, you must increase, and I must decrease." So, Father, subdue the flesh. I mean, the best thing we could pray for each other, check me on this, Brother Travis, is the Lord bless Brother Travis to be anointed to the burial of self so that you might reign in his life today, in Jesus' name. Is that a good prayer, Brother Travis?
That's a great prayer, right? That's a great prayer. You know, we go to these groups and sit down and we open with prayer, and everybody wants to pray that everybody there who's going through suffering would be delivered from it. And those prayers are okay. But at the same time, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done should be toward the end.
Absolutely. Well, you know, all these things that are happening in our lives, you know, we quote this verse, it's Bible all the way, so it's a blessing that we quote it. But there's one, the verse after it, which is joined to it, is also important, where Romans 8:28, and Paul writes, and we know that all things work together for good. It didn't say all things were good, but they all work together for good, amen? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And his Son suffered, Brother Travis. He suffered much leading up to and at the cross. And he said we're to follow him in this suffering. He is our example, 1 Peter tells us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, Brother Travis, feel free to jump right in there. I'm going to pull up 1 Peter chapter 4. And it speaks of Jesus being our example. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, here's the key, Brother Travis. See if I'm missing this. Arm yourselves likewise with the same, that he that has suffered in the flesh, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, arming ourselves, and this goes back to what point you were just making. We must arm ourselves that this is not a life of luxury. We are not, we're king's kids, but we're not home yet. And we're just passing through this earth. It is not going to be smooth sailing. So we must arm ourselves with the same mind. And that is what? Knowing that Christ has suffered for us. Go ahead, brother.
That is the mindset of the cross. That's the mind of Christ, a crucified mind, Todd. Two crucified and resurrected mind. Let's don't leave the resurrection out. A mind that has died to its old way of looking at the world and the old way of thinking, the old ruts, the old tapes that play in our mind. We've died to that.
Yes.
And we've been renewed and refreshed and raised up in a new mind, a renewed mind. And that's what transformation is all about. And let me make this point. Notice that Paul uses the word arm yourselves. That speaks of weaponry right there. That our weapon is not a weapon of violence. It is a weapon of the cross, Todd.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And another thing there is that we have to remember in these sufferings that these prepositions are always there in the text, which say that Christ is with us in suffering. We suffer with him, Todd. We're not alone in this. He
Amen.
Is that fourth person down there in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through this fire with us. So just don't forget that as we walk in his footsteps, he's actually the one taking the steps, and we're in him taking those steps with him, Todd.
Praise God, brother. You know, these sufferings cause there to be great rejoicing as we see the effect of them. One of the passages, Brother Travis, that you brought out in this writing, which is absolutely fabulous, as all of yours are on this subject. And ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to look at safeguardyoursoul.com. And there is a category. It's Travis Bryan III. They're alphabetically listed on the right side of every page on safeguardyoursoul.com. There are, like, I think there's probably 30 or 40 now. Nice little short messages on the cross. These are really good because they help us to begin to digest and to begin to accept and receive and see the divine plan of God in the cross and to be armed with it. You know, this is the initial, you know, we don't even hear this message, Brother Travis, and so we must absorb it, we must migrate to it. We must pray God would really set it as a cornerstone in our hearts so that we're not surprised at the tests that come our way. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Jesus says to Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly.
Keep going with that.
Read 10, Todd,
because there's why Todd could, Paul could embrace his sufferings, is 10.
Yes. Most gladly, amen. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And here's why, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Brother Travis?
And Todd, I would make clear this, that although God does not cause sin or sponsor sin, he does not want you to fail, he allows you to fail. And it's through our failures sometimes that this cross works as well as any event. We fail and we're shocked at our actions and we fall down on our knees before God and cry out for forgiveness. But he uses those things even, Todd, to
yes.
be a suffering, that he would raise us up and make us stronger spiritually than we were before our failures.
Amen. I mean, Peter comes to mind when you're talking, Brother Travis. I mean, God had nothing to do with his denial of Christ 3 times, and yet, that you know, there was an obvious death and burial that went on in Peter's life, and he waited before the Lord with the 120, and the resurrection of Pentecost came when the church was born after Jesus rose from the dead, had risen from dead, and sent down the Holy Ghost.
And so we see a man that had just days before denied him, and now he's preaching under the power of the Spirit of Christ.
12:9-10, resting upon him in such a way that God anointed him to preach. And
he gave people that faith. Now, you know, that ought to give us also.
That God, if we'll do things his way, if we'll submit to the cross, which is simply saying, Lord, you're in charge, not me, waving the white flag, as you say many times, Brother Travis, saying, Lord, I'm going to let go and let God. I'm going to let go and let God, not my will, but thine be done. It's very simple. Let's not complicate the concept of the cross. It's as simple, if you will, as simply praying what Jesus prayed, one of the 7 things on the cross, and that is, Father, into thine hands I commend, I release my spirit. I wonder what would happen. Got a minute and a half left. Beloved Saint, I wonder what would happen if you would just cry out to God today, to get alone and to maybe get on your knees or lift your hands and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done in this life that you gave today into your hands. Father, I release, I commend, I submit my spirit. You know, Brother Travis, Jesus, got 1 minute left. Jesus is saying today, come unto me, to someone. Come unto me, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, just come to me, and I will give you rest. God is wanting to give rest to somebody that's listening to this program. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My burdens are light. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But if we'll come to Jesus, we'll find rest, beloved. Jesus waits. Jesus calls. Jesus beckons for you to come to him today in simple faith, trust, and honesty, admitting anything you've done wrong, including pride, idolatry and not submitting yourself to the full will of God and loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back on another program soon. God bless you.